I would see maybe Drake there or The Weeknd or whatever. And they started calling me like 6 months. At intermission, I would go and see my friend Kirk Corners, who is the DJ for the Raptors. One day he took the mic and he went, "And the Six Moms in the house."
Hello, all, and welcome to Marsha, 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 the podcast. I'm your host, Marsha Molinari. And you are here listening to the podcast that brings true and heartfelt human connection. I believe if you don't know about it, you can't care about it. And that's why we're here today. I want to get right into the background of Six Mom and where Six Mom came about.
And well, I'm from Toronto, Canada. And that's actually where we have a lot of great musicians and rappers.
Gigi
and that,
Gorgeous
and one of them. Yeah,
Gigi
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a Torontonian.
Yeah.
From the Six. But Drake is, of course, from Toronto, the Six. And The Weeknd and Justin Bieber, well, we have a lot of backing. So over time,
I would test that area. Something special is going on there.
I know.
Right?
Then I guess over the time, I would go to many events because I, as a painter myself, I would try to support any kind of artist, whether they were in music or dance or film or that. And as I went out to do that or try and support them, I would run into or see maybe Drake there or The Weeknd or whatever, and the OVO crew, as we would call them, like Premium, Bacchanal Nights, and so on. And they started calling me like 6 months, but it wasn't really known well. Until I went, and I loved the Raptors, right? Because they're our team.
Right.
And I would always go to the games. And at intermission, I would go.
And the Raptors are hockey? Basketball. Sorry. Yeah.
But we're good.
Yeah.
So I would go to the, at intermission, I would go and see my friend Kirk Corners, who is the DJ for the Raptors.
Okay.
And I would just go say hi. And then maybe I would take a little Instagram of him. While he was, you know, working, and then he'd turn around and do one of me. But one day he took the mic and he went, "And the Six Moms in the house." And I was like, "What?" And that's kind of how it went viral. It just kind of went like, oh. So then when I would go to different clubs and that, they would say, "Ah, Six Moms in the house."
I think it's just so fitting, actually. Like, it's kind of the same way, I think, you know, how I ended up finding, like, Marsha, like, I think, you know, when something's meant to be, it just comes about over and over again. And it wasn't until, you know, more people started calling me Marsha where I felt like it fit. That was just, that's my name.
Yeah.
Everyone that I know knows you as Six Mom. And we go out quite a bit. We're kind of dancing partners.
Well, but that's how we met.
That's how we met. I want to get into the beginning of your life in your childhood and where that started. And were you always from Toronto?
No, well, I was from Guelph, which was a little town just outside of Toronto.
What was it called?
Guelph.
Guelph.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so, but I would be taken into Toronto to, like, because my father actually was a doctor, but he was very much into the arts, and he played the violin and created the Guelph Civic Symphony, which became the Guelph Spring Festival. He would take me into Toronto to different museums or operas that were going on. He knew Edward Johnson, who is the director of the Metropolitan in New York. It's very interesting being in a small town that actually he had this connection with a lot of artists. So I think my background from him, I that world just opened up to me, and I always felt very drawn to it.
So like any kind of art, music?
Yeah, any kind of thing like that, I would, you know. And so I think for me, going into the arts was just, as we're talking, I had to do that. It just didn't seem right if I didn't do something in the arts.
And if you haven't seen Andrea's art, it's really, really beautiful and breathtaking. The way the pieces I've seen were simply phenomenal, and you definitely have an amazing talent that I think needs to be displayed. And we'll put in the link so that people can find images of the art. But I remember you telling me a story, like, in, you know, kind of when you were coming of age and deciding what you wanted to be, being an artist wasn't exactly accepted by all of your family members.
Yes. Well, my father passed when I was 14. And a number of people always say to me, oh, you know, that's so sad, Andrew. And I always say, no, it's not the quantity of time, it's the quality of time.
Right.
And so I wanted to go, I actually had applied to go to the University of Windsor because they had an arts program there. There weren't many in Canada at the time. And my mother had said to me, oh, no, Andrew, you can't do that. And I went, well, why? And she said, because you'd be associating with those kind of people. And I was like, yeah, those are the kind of people I
want.
And so actually she kind of threw me out of the house. I guess she thought, you know, well, try and figure it out, which I actually did. I actually put myself through university. I was picked up by a gallery in undergraduate school.
So she's like, you can't live here, because she wanted you to do what?
She wanted me to be in medicine.
In medicine.
So she wanted to follow in my father's footsteps,
right.
I guess. Because when I look back at it, I think her manner, instead of saying to me that she would be worried about me trying to survive being an artist, because of course you do have your challenges, she didn't say it that way.
I think she probably, you know, I don't know, but in a sense, you know, the way parents try to handle things is like kind of like a scare tactic.
Yeah.
Like, how about I just say, I'll take everything away.
Right.
And they're definitely going to come back, or they're going to do it my way. You're like, no?
No, because I knew, I just felt I had to do that.
Right.
Now we're talking the 70s, so,
okay.
You know. And also being a woman at that time, too, very, very difficult, because most of the arts, particularly in Toronto, in the galleries and that, showed mostly men's work. And, you know, I mean, my first one-woman show, the critic came to it and was interviewing me, and he said, you know, I wanted to talk to you about your painting because they're so powerful, you know, because you paint like a man. And I went
No,
I paint like a person.
Yeah, I paint like me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How interesting.
I know.
Well, but we were talking about the woman I just learned about who ran the first marathon in Boston.
Yeah.
And she ran under like sort of a disguise as being like a male runner. Because they told her that women can't run long distances.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't possible for her to run the marathon. And so what she ended up doing was dressing in a man's sweatsuit and started running. And it wasn't until further along through the marathon that they realized it was a woman. And there was men actually trying to rip her number off.
Yeah.
Like they were trying to physically attack her.
Yeah.
Like the threat that, you know, certain people have when someone new comes around or something different. Did you always find like you had to push your way through to be who you wanted to be?
Oh yeah, always. I mean, even the whole point of me dancing.
Yeah.
That story.
Like, were you dancing in college? Were you going out?
Not a lot, but I mean, I love music. You know, as a painter, I spend all day by myself, so I've listened to every kind of music over the years. So think of it from like the 60s, 70s, right up to now.
Yeah.
And that's why people go, oh, how do you know this, you know, hip-hop artist or whatever? I go, well, you know, I'm in the studio, and I like to listen to or hear things that I've never heard before that I go like, whoa, that's really creative or that's really unusual.
You have a wide range of musical knowledge, because I'll turn on anything from like classical to Frank Sinatra to Drake, and you know, you seem to know all the songs. But you did say you weren't exactly a fan of Elvis at the time.
No, but you my just sister was.
Not that you weren't a fan; she was just more into his music.
Yeah.
So when did you get to being out in the clubs and finding sort of...
Well, that's an interesting story, because I think like everyone, they have their challenges in life. And I had a few. And I didn't like leave the studio for like 2 months. And then one day I thought, you know, I think I'd feel better if I went out dancing. And so I said to my friends, hey, we should go dancing. I think I'd feel a lot better. And they go, oh, no, you can't do that. And I was like, why? You're too old. You won't know the music. You'll embarrass yourself, and my children will be there. I was like, oh. So another 2 weeks, I didn't go anywhere. And I watched television. I did, you know, the whole thing. I ate every pint of ice cream, watched every movie.
Right.
And then one day I was lying there and I actually got an invitation from a friend of mine who is actually Director X. And he went, Andrea, I'm doing this event. Why don't you come? You know, it'll be like fun. It's like NBA weekend. You know, I got a great DJ and that. And I was like, oh, that's, I'd love to do that. But, you know,
but my
I can't.
Friend says I can't.
So I was lying there and I went, wait a minute. I don't have to tell my friends I went.
Yeah.
So boom. I went. So I got a cap. And I went to the event, and I thought, and the other thing was, I thought, well, Andrea, you know, at least just go there, because if you go and you don't feel right, you can always leave, but if you don't go, you're never going to know.
Yeah.
So I went, and it was like a lot of people, nobody really on the dance floor, but the music was like so good. So I just crossed kind of the dance floor and went to the left of the DJ, kind of in the dark, and I just started to dance, and I just couldn't stop dancing. I think I danced 2.5 hours straight.
Wow.
I had the best time. And during that time, then people kind of joined, right? And
that must have been the very beginning, because you can dance way longer than that now.
That's true. So at the end, I thought, I have to go up to that DJ, you know, and thank him, you know, because it's the cliche of the DJ saved my life, because he did. And I just went up to him. I went, you know, like, thank you. And he went, come here. I don't know who you are, but here's my number. I want you to come to my next event, which is next Friday. And I was like, really? And he went, yeah. My name started from scratch. It's a great DJ. And I was like, oh, okay. So I left and I was walking home thinking, well, I guess I wasn't that bad.
Yeah. It's not thing your friend warned you about.
Yeah.
You know, I have friends now that are in their mid-30s to 40s and on. I mean, you've been around all my friends. They're like, it's a range from here to there.
Yeah, that's
and true. Certain friends that I feel that are even on the younger side will be like, I just can't go to a club. I can't dance. I mean, I'm just too old for that. And everything is like, I'm too old for that. I'm like, well, what are you supposed to do? Like, lock yourself away, like you said, right. And sit on a recliner and eat ice cream all day?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, sure, that's nice once in a while, but like, there's a jubilation in dancing. There's a freedom in dancing. There's worship in dancing.
It's healthy.
It's healthy.
The head, heart, the mind, everything.
You know, also like, you know, definitely when we met, and I understand where that DJ was coming from, because you have a light that comes from you, and you were always meant to be dancing. You That's find true. The rhythm, and it blends with you. It is in sync with you, and you're in sync with the rhythm. Because and when I heard, because I didn't know any of the Drake stuff or any, I didn't know you when I first met you. And I met you at Poppy, and I just saw this smile, and you were dancing, and that's who I wanted to be around. That's all I knew. And I invited you over, and we kind of went out every single night.
Yeah, we did. We went out every
like every single
because you
night.
You love to dance, too, and that was the thing.
And we would.
And I don't care what I look like.
Yeah, I mean, there's no
I try to go in the music.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And we would just get up at Delilah's and dance, and we'd get up at Poppy's and all the things. So when I heard then Drake came about, that you guys had met each other and knew each other and all the things, I kind of got him a little bit more, because I know how special and sweet he is.
Yeah.
You know, he will be in a crowd of people are walking through Delilah's and he sees me and he always gives me a hug and he's like the sweetest person.
Yep. Does
never
that
forgets
me.
You. Yeah. Always
True,
sees
I know.
You and gives you a hug. And it made me feel a little bit more special, or that we kind of saw the same lighting.
Yeah.
You know, like we, the same thing. And, you know, ever since then, we just kind of continued dancing. And so I remember you said that, you know, you were talking about how your family thinks you're from another planet. Did they find out that you ended up, eventually were going to the clubs and were like, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah, but I didn't care.
Yeah.
By then, I was like, are you kidding? I mean, I'm just having the best time. Because through starting from scratch in Toronto, other DJs would drop in, and they would see me, and they go, oh, my gosh, you know, Andrea, you have to come. This is before I was called Six Mom. You know, you have to come to my venue. And so, you know, that's how I met Four Corners. I went to a TIFF event, and nobody was dancing. I went, oh, the music's so good, and I started dancing. It was like, again, said, hey, you know, you have to come. I go, okay. So, yeah. they're, you know, my family now, I think, kind of, they were mouth drops. You are, you know, because they'll go like, you are where? And I go, well, you know, I went to Bootsy. What's that? Oh, it's a club, you know. And French Montana was there. I went, oh, French Montana. I go, yeah. And Duffy, the DJ. And I'd met them in Toronto, but saw them here again. Snoop Dogg, you know, I was into them. I know. My life is crazy. Like, I have met the most wonderful people by just dancing.
Yeah.
Because that's how I met Director X. At the time, he was Little X, because I was just dancing. He came up to dance with me. And I've danced with Christian Louboutin, who's come and danced. I don't know. It's sometimes I'm like thinking, I must be dreaming.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. I think there is an infectiousness about being yourself, totally yourself, and being free. And there's a, I think there's just such a society block on freedom in general.
Ah, yes.
So like to come out of the social norms, especially, I'll say with someone in your age range, like you said, your friend is like, can't be going out. We're too old. We
won't know. Yeah, but guess who wants to go out with me now?
Her, guaranteed. I mean, and everybody else and everyone else I know. But I think there is something like people are drawn to when they see people being free, you know, like I'll get up and dance anywhere myself because I'm like, well, what are we doing here?
I know.
You know, with our time, with our lives, with our bodies that I think are so special and kind of miraculous how they move and the things they do for us and the healing process. And, you know, I just feel like with that, like keeping your body moving is what keeps you young.
That's when people ask me, Andrew, you know, where do you get your energy? And I just keep saying, you just got to keep moving.
Keep moving.
Some days it's hard. Like everyone has their days.
Sure.
But
I have mine too.
Really, it's keep moving.
Yeah. You know? I think that's really the secret. And because, you know, you've often surprised me or shocked me. Like I'll be at Delilah's and I'll randomly message Andrea and I'm like, do you want to come to dinner? It's last minute. Oh, sure, I'll be there. I'm just leaving Harriet's. It might take you a little bit longer. And I'm like, are you okay? Yeah, I'm almost there. Just a few more minutes. And then I'm sitting there. I'm like, did you just walk from Harriet's to Delilah's?
Yeah.
And that's not even like, that's a short walk for you,
yeah, that's
right?
A real short walk. Yeah. Because I think, too, not only is the dancing been great for me physically and mentally, but I think also in my late 50s, I didn't know I could walk really fast. And a friend put me in a charity event, and which was a running event, when I'm not a really good runner. And I said, well, what do I have to do? And she said, walk. And I went, okay, I can do that. And so when I got to the venue, they, you know, they give you the little numbers or whatever. And I went up to them, and they went, oh, are you a competitive walker or a regular walker? And I said, well, what's a competitive walk? And they, well, you win prizes. I went, you win prizes?
Okay. I'm competitive.
So I ended up that day finding out, because I actually could have come in first, but I didn't. I kind of waited behind the person. I came in second. And everybody went crazy. How can you walk that fast? And I went, I don't know. So it's, again, we have something that really I loved doing, because I would listen to music while I was walking.
Yeah.
So it was like really walking but dancing to music.
Well, you've been like viral quite a few times. You were on Viola Davis.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And I think I might have been there that time at Harriet's.
Yeah.
But I remember no one was dancing. And we started, and we looked up, and the whole place was dancing. Like crazy. Yeah.
Like
they were
crazy.
Doing competition.
It was, and there was competition from one side of the room to the other.
And I think it was like shortly after that happened, I'm,
you love that,
for whatever blessed reason, because, you know, I follow 7,000 people on Instagram. So when friends are like, you didn't like my photo, I'm like, I didn't get to it. You know, like, you know, because whatever pops up.
They actually say that?
A lot of people do. I know. And but with Viola's comes up all the time. Hers is just, and it's always such beautiful things she posts. And I admire her so much. And just as much as what you're doing, I love what she's doing, because she doesn't let, there's no boundaries with her.
Yeah.
You know, at her age, she is doing way beyond, you know, people that are, you know, in their 20s. And I mean, she's just killing it with Woman King and
She's
all the
things. She's an inspiration.
An inspiration. And so I love to follow her. And so she's one of my favorite people to follow. And there you are on her page. And she's like, I want to be like her. She wants to be like you.
Well, it's interesting you say that because as we're talking about being on the dance floor, and there's a lot of younger people now that come up to me, and they go like, oh my gosh, I want to be you when I grow up. And I go, well, I want to be you when I grow up. You know, so we're like mutually admiration.
Do you ever feel, do you ever kind of get the discrimination of like, maybe you shouldn't be someplace besides that one friend of yours? Or do you come with your own welcome mat? Because I kind of do myself.
Yeah, I just,
so whatever people are thinking, I'm not really interested.
Yeah, I mean, it took a while for me to gain, kind of going like, wow, you know, just because the thing, and we're talking music again, the music created, it's like they are the music messengers, right? The musicians or whatever, and the DJs. So, you know, I'm thankful for that. To be, you know, kind of lost, get lost in the music and saved.
And is it just, it's music and dancing for you? Because you can, you go a lot further than I can go a lot of times. And I admire it and I wish I could, like during Coachella.
Oh my gosh, that was so much fun.
That was so much fun.
I liked it so much, I went the second weekend.
I know you did.
Because I'd never been before.
But I had friends, like, I mean, first of all, if you go anywhere with Six Mom, everybody knows her. Through the lines, to get to the parties, inside the parties, out the party, in the bus, you know, everyone seems to know you.
I know.
And I think that just kind of speaks very highly of yourself and your spirit. And I was going to say, like, right when we met, I want to kind of feel like we've known each other for probably many lifetimes. Because it's never been an age thing for me. It's you have a young spirit, and I think our spirits are just kind of the same. I don't think spirit has age.
Mm-hmm. So I totally,
right?
Totally agree. I don't. It's funny. I don't look at age
in that way.
That anyone that comes up to me or talks to me or whatever, it's their light or whatever their being is. Yeah, I don't.
No, but, you know, but society does. And
they do. And then,
you know, I found it very interesting. I was listening to this TED Talk and on ageism, and she said, you know, one, your age has nothing to do with it. It's the person who has something, has a problem with it.
Yeah.
A guy kissing another guy has nothing to do with anything other than you're homophobic. Mm-hmm. So all the isms and phobias are, you know, come from other people, and it comes from society.
Right.
Telling you can't be an artist. You can't dance at a certain age.
Yeah.
You know, on and on.
You can't dance at a certain place.
Yeah. And none of that, I guess, kind of just really doesn't fit with our souls, because we're like, wait, we can do whatever we want.
Yeah. I mean, if there's a venue that maybe they're not going to let me in because they're going to let every, you know, younger person in, I just think, well, there's always another venue.
There's always another, and I've actually felt that way too. There's just kind of always a new place to go.
Yeah.
You know, we can dance anywhere.
Yeah.
You do understand that you're definitely an inspiration.
I hope so.
You know, and I think just in general, how people are perceived as they get older and the limitations society has put on people, I think that's lessening. I did hear that there's less than 4% of people actually living in retirement homes now.
Oh,
and the number keeps dropping every year.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, I mean, I know at one point that's just kind of where everyone thought they had to go. Because, you know, society is like, well, there's no other place for you.
Right.
You know, and you're like, there's so much more to me than one thing. And I also heard, you know, it's kind of like when you think of a retirement home, you only think of one type of person, when a retirement home can range from four different generations.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you could, four different decades. And so from basically someone from 40 on, you know, like those are different types of people.
Yeah.
There's lots of different things going on in there, and, you know, to kind of space them all into being one thing, you know, like, well, everyone today is going to play backgammon.
I know.
And that's all you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know, and then we're going to have a juice box later, and like, like it's like no.
No.
I want to live my life to the very end, and you know,
yeah,
also
because you can't go out for intermission.
Hello.
I always say that to myself in the morning.
Well,
I always
there.
Give thanks in the morning, but then I go, okay, this is a gift.
Well, yeah, let's also talk about kind of like your daily practices, because we've talked about, you know, what I think kind of brings a light to each other and kind of like maybe the lightness in your step and why you dance is, I think it's all stems in gratitude.
Oh, gosh.
And we both talked about how when we both wake up and open our eyes, yeah. we say thank you.
Yep.
And you have a practice of saying thank you, or hello and good morning to your friends that have passed.
Yeah, every morning.
And I told you that
I think they're my angels. Like yeah. it's getting a little crowded, but you know.
Yeah, they're all around.
At my age, it's getting a little
but
crowded.
But they're doing a great job.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You know?
Because I know Robert helped me with my hair today because I'm not really great at hair, but I went, Robert, oh my gosh, you got to help me.
It's oh my true. God, that's.
And he did.
We are so similar because I have the worst time putting on eyeliner, and I have a friend that passed who was a terrific makeup artist, and I'd go, Jake, can you help me out? You know, I really need to get this line straight. I don't have time to mess it
it's
up.
It's funny you said that because I was going to put eyeliner on, and I went, no, 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 you can't do that. And I'm sure it was Robert going, no, 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 the hair looks good. You don't need the line.
Yeah, I mean, you look beautiful. So where do you see Andrea maybe 5 years from now? Still dancing, still making art.
Oh, yeah. I will always make art because it's just, I painting to me is just the like, my other being. Like, right. I have to do it. And it's the challenge, right? Because I don't want to paint like anyone else. And hopefully I can move visual art history forward in some sense. And I think that's why I got into the use of paper. I call them paper paintings. Because I hadn't seen anyone kind of use paper in that way. So yeah, that's my challenge. And it's funny, again, I don't think of like how long I'm gonna live or what. I just, every day is try to be in the moment in that. And we were talking earlier about like, I'd like to be here on Earth for quite a long time. I actually would. I'd like to be like still 90 and dancing away, you know, to some great new music of some kind.
Well, I believe that if you want to, that's kind of what, you know, I think your body acclimates to the way you start feeling about yourself. And if you believe, had you believed what your friend said, what everyone else told you, you would just be kind of, your body would stay stagnant and, when I have friends that are always like, a couple of friends that are just like, I'm sick. Sorry, I'm sick. I know they're not sick, by the way. But, like, oh, I don't feel well is what they always say.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I believe that there's power in words, there's power in action. Yeah. And they would always be sick. You know, yeah. they would always be the one to get
yeah,
sick.
Yeah, and they keep saying it.
They keep saying it.
Right.
So I think, like, you know, the beautiful thing for, and the lesson learned is, you know, be grateful, keep moving.
Yeah.
Like nonstop.
Yeah.
And you're going off to Toronto next, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you dance a lot there?
Yeah, like I have like, you know, 5 different clubs that I always go to. But again, I tend to follow certain DJs also, so wherever they are. Like I'll follow Kirk Corners, Starting From Scratch, Jazzy Jeff, you know, Night Train. Actually, Night Train comes here quite a bit too. Yeah.
How did you survive the pandemic?
Well,
not being able to
dance.
That's
a very interesting thing. Because being by myself, of course, I not being able to go out anywhere, yeah. And knowing that dance was the thing that, you know, gave me sort of that energy, and that each day I would go on Instagram, and my friend DJ Franny, who's actually the DJ at Dre's in Vegas. On Sunday nights in particular, he started posting or trying to do like an hour of music. And I would, you know, so I would listen to it or whatever. And then he'd go, I'm going to do it like tomorrow night too. And I go, okay, that's great. So I'd turn on the next night. And the next night he'd be on. And he'd only do it for an hour because they actually would shut them off. Like Instagram would shut them off.
Yeah.
So then he went, hey, everybody, I'm going over to Twitch. And I was like, Twitch? What's Twitch. Like, I wasn't a gamer or anything.
Right.
So I had to find out what that was. And I went, yeah, I'll follow you. You know, went in. I think he had like 30 people at that time. Went into Twitch. And every night he would go, and every night I would turn him on. And every night his audience grew and the chat room grew. So you could be talking to people from all over the world. And it grew. Like, and he was on 295 days straight. And I was with him 295 days straight.
Oh, wow.
I know, crazy. But wow. He really did, again, save. Because he would come on at 1 in the morning also. Toronto time, right? Because he's in Vegas.
I mean, kind of a testament to music on, like, how it saved a lot of people during that time. And,
yeah.
You know, I know a lot of people fell into different types of depression and...
Oh, gosh, yeah.
But so. I remember Zach Bia was DJing on a channel.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to pretend to be in the club. Like, yeah. I'd be laying in bed and be like... And Kylie would be in the chat. And Bella Hadid would be in the chat.
So good.
And we'd be like, I'm like, Kylie, do you need tequila? And she's like, I need tequila at my table. And I'm like, I need ice at my table. And we were just sitting there pretending we were at the club.
Yeah, no.
Missing it so much.
Yeah, so that's, he kept me growing. And then other DJs found out that that was kind of a way they could make some money. Because, of course, they couldn't go into any of the club. So starting from scratch, started it. And, you know, so I ended up following about 5 different DJs. I would switch around during the night just to try to support them.
So besides tonight, because we will be going out tonight and dancing, where do you pull inspiration from? Like, besides the music, and are there people that you kind of look up to or have looked up to in the past?
I guess it depends, you know, on what media and so on. But generally, like the other, like we were watching Live to Lead.
Oh, yeah, that's right. On Netflix the other day.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So, I mean, back in the day, Gloria Steinem, that was someone I looked up to. Because, again, you know, in the 70s and that being a woman at that time, it's very challenging. But she was always kind of the hope.
Yeah.
Right? And she, you know, she was the one that fought for so much. And so, yeah, I really looked up to her for sure.
When we watched the episode on Greta and how she started protesting by herself and sitting outside and, you know, she kind of just got this, like, fire inside of her when she said she saw images of what the earth was, what we were doing to the earth and the pollution. And she said, well, someone has to do something. And her parents were like everyone else, like, it's too late. Or someone's going to figure something out. And she's like, but no, that's not good enough. And they're like, well, we just have hope. And she's like, hope? Like, no. And so what I was going to say was that she started off sitting there alone. And shortly after, 2 people would come. 3 people would come.
Yeah, no, that was magic.
And then it became, you know, magic.
And one person?
It was thousands, and then plus, you know, tens of thousands. It spread around the world. And I think that you do that when you enter a room and you start to dance in a room where no one's dancing, like that day. And we were so lost in that day and like lost in dancing and movement that I think it shocked us both when we looked up and everyone was like, the ground was moving.
Yeah, the whole was shaking. It was shaking. And that's what's great. That's what's wonderful about dance. It's nonverbal. You don't have to talk to the person, but you do physically or that. And just the joy on people's face, those moments, they are lost in the moment, having the best time.
And you're self-taught. You're not. Did you ever take dance?
No, I mean, I think my mother put me in a ballet class when I was like 8 or something, but... Yeah, if she would have put me in a tap dancing class, I would have been like really good. But
you would have slayed it.
Yeah.
Well, it's not too late. We should take a
No, that's true because it's funny. I was thinking about that the other day. I thought, wow, that another form of great exercise.
Yeah.
And I went to that show at the Academy, which was called the Regeneration of Black Cinema.
Uh-huh.
And the Nicholas Black
Brothers. Oh, you told me that.
Oh, my gosh.
You walked from La Brea in... Where would you walk from?
Santa Monica and La Brea to
all the way down to Wilshire.
Yeah, down Fairfax. That's I'm not short doing enough. Walks. To me, actually.
Right, short walk. Right.
But anyway, seeing they had all the film, like, on the Nicholas Brothers, who were like amazing dancers.
Wow.
Again.
Yeah.
Inspirations, generations.
Yeah. So you've gone viral a couple of times. Like I mentioned, the Viola Davis, you're on her page. Mm-hmm. Actually, today I just sent one of our producers, Michaela, another video of you. I didn't send it to you. Oh. You're on somebody else's page today.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You really are. Right. And so, well, let's talk about what happened when... did you, someone send that to you about Viola Davis? Or?
Well, yeah, I mean, I love Sundays at Harriet's, that brunch thing. And I think it was William Lifestyle, who was the DJ at the time. And there was group dancing. And then this one person, this guy, started a kind of like a challenge, you know, like a little challenge thing. And I was like,
and you're like,
okay,
I'm the one.
I'll follow you, you know. And
yeah.
So that somebody took a video of that, which I didn't know, and then I sent it out there, and I guess it went on TikTok or something. And then a friend of mine went, "Hey, Andrea, I think you're on TikTok." I went, "What? What?" And they went, "Yeah." And so then it kind of just kind of went out there and kept growing and growing. And then a friend of mine, well, actually, guess who told me I was on it? I was at Sean Paul. Okay, I know Sean Paul.
Sean Paul, amazing.
So I know, I love Sean Paul. And he was in Toronto because actually he has a lot of family in Toronto.
Okay.
So he was doing a show at History, Drake's new kind of club. And then there was an after party at a place called Love Child, which I loved.
Another I love great, these names.
Yeah.
I need to go to Toronto more.
And it was also my friend Kieran, who was actually the videographer in that for Sean Paul's. He's done like Cardi B and Sean Paul and stuff. And it was his birthday. And he went, "Oh, Andrea, come to the after party." And I went, "Okay." So I, of course, went to the after party. And, you know, Kieran was there and Sean Paul saw me. And he said, "Come over." So I come and sit down beside him. He goes, "Hey, have you seen this?" And he takes it out.
And he shows,
and
it shows to
me.
You.
And I'm like, I'm looking at it, looking like, I don't read it. I just go, "Oh, yeah, that was me dancing."
You thought it was just someone sent him a video?
Yeah.
Did you realize it was posted?
No. So it was like, these are crazy moments in my life. I'm Sean Paul, and he's showing me a video. I mean, no, you can't make it up.
And you're the excitement in the video, and you're the one who's like,
it's just
so happy to see.
I know.
So, you know, with social media being what it is, and do you ever do TikTok challenges?
No, I haven't done any of them. Yeah,
we got to get you on though.
I know, I do watch them now, the kind of dance-offs and stuff.
How do you handle now, like, your way through social media? Because you are on there.
And I'm on Instagram most of the time. I don't go into, like, Facebook and that. But generally, I use my account, which is Andrea Boley, Six Mom, to support other artists. So I or things or events coming up. I generally use it more for that.
Yeah, you do. And I use mine the same way. I try to post and repost. You know, I think that's so important. I think we become so selfish in this kind of like day and age where it's just like me, like only one picture. You know, because you know, I think at any time before anyone got any fame or anything like that, we were genuinely excited for our friends. Say, like, you know, in elementary school, if a friend got a magazine cover, we would cry.
Right.
Like, that would be the craziest thing in the world. So, you know, if I see a friend get something like that, or, you know, a friend's music drops, or any kind of those things, I think it's so important to share those things. And you do that generously.
Yeah.
And I really love that.
There's a lot of young artists out there. I remember back in the day, you know, there wasn't a lot of mentors or support. So, yeah. And now with social media, I mean, they really have a chance. You connect to people and, you know.
Yeah, because we've really cut out the gatekeepers in that sense of like, so now you can go viral, I can go viral, we could release a record.
Yeah, what a good idea.
Right? We start a dance troupe.
Yeah.
Which I think we have.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, particularly when at Harriet's they start doing that line dance thing all together.
All right.
Oh my gosh, that's fun.
Well, thank you, Andrea, aka Six Mom, for stopping by today. We had such a pleasure, and I can't wait to dance with you again shortly, I'm sure. And thank you, everyone, for coming to visit. Subscribe, like, and comment. And we're out. Marsha.
Yeah. That was so good.
This podcast is brought to you by Vocal Podcast Network. Executive producers are Michaela Simon and Marcia Molinari. Produced by Yonta Taiwo, Morgan McDonald, and Ariana Giles. Shooting and editing by Morgan McDonald. Music by Aaron Rees. Artwork by Dominic Demetz, and hosted by Marcia Molinari. Remember to follow at Marcia Molinari and at Vocal Podcasts everywhere. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast.